Good morning again. Welcome to Buellin Community Church. Glad to have everybody here, especially the group from Rockford. Thank you all for everything you've done. And do we have any birthdays this morning? We usually celebrate birthdays. No birthdays to celebrate. I'll give Brother James, you want to come up and give the announcements this morning?
We've been looking forward to this time for a year. We certainly thank the Lord for getting you all on a safe trip. I don't know how many miles it is from here to Rockford, Illinois. For our peace. God certainly gave you all the valid mercy. Thank you for that. Some of you here in the area may not know this, but our son's sister-in-law was killed Friday night. And their funeral will be Tuesday at 1 o'clock. A visitation tomorrow night from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Engel Bowling Funeral Home in Hatcher. We baptized Anna, the one who got killed. We baptized her about 6 years ago. He has left her family, her daughter, her mom and dad. We are glad to have each one of you with us today, and we'll not have any evening service tonight. We're going to have a meal downstairs, and then we're going to go visit her and spread the word about our Bible school this afternoon. And, we're looking forward to this week, and the Lord's going to bless us. Bless each one of you young people and adults are with us. Thank God for you. And let's keep our eyes on the Lord this week. I love Hebrews 12, too. It says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the cross of God. For we're here to magnify Jesus this week. He's the one who deserves the praise and honor and glory. And we thank God for you today. Bible school is every day, starting tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock to 9 p.m. And we'll be going and picking up different people in different places. I guess we'll still be going to Cherokee Hills and also Harborough. Dennis Plank, maybe Nan Sandell. This is our baby daughter and one of our six grandchildren. He's over 3 years old. He's looking forward, I believe, to Bible school this week. And I know Spencer's looking forward to Bible school. Steve's favorite grandchild, Steve and Cheryl. Their only grandchild, and he is a precious little fellow. Thank God for each one of you here this morning.
Okay, Steve.
We do. We are. This is to our people here in our church. We're going to be taking up an offering at the end of our service for Omida. That is a Christian school, grade 6 through 12. Adult school there. And they don't have any students who are foreign students. Quite a few different countries are represented at that school. And it's just a few miles away at Clay County. And Father's Day offering will be going to Oneida. We're glad to have Luke with us today. He's going to be giving a message this morning. Come on in. This is one of our three sons-in-law. Our three daughters were captured by three felons. So there, this is one of our grandchildren here too. Okay, Steve.
Okay, and I want to especially recognize some folks who worked pretty hard yesterday. David, Chris, Jason, Stryker, Brother James, and Myrna. We had a little working at the church yesterday and cleaned the church up a little bit on the outside. And poor old David was on the roof. It was 95 degrees yesterday. And thank goodness Chris was on the ladder with a pressure washer. And I held down the tailgate on the back of the truck. And so I think I've graduated to the tailgate now in my life. So we appreciate everybody for doing that. We need to recognize our fathers this morning. I guess everybody that's a father, and I need a volunteer to pass out some books. Can we do that? Somebody volunteer? Just give one to every man here in the... I'm sorry? And the fathers need to stand up. But give one to every man here. We celebrated Father's Day last Sunday, but we're gonna do it again this Sunday. So, you need some more? All right, let's do that.
Let's have a word of prayer for the dad. You know, it's an awesome responsibility to be a dad. Most all men to be a father. It takes a special person to be a dad. We have a big responsibility. I knew Luke was going to be preaching for us this morning, and so I gave a father's message last Sunday. If you have another father's message, you go right ahead and preach whatever the Lord has laid on your heart already. Someone said last Sunday we need a double dose.
Yeah.
So God bless you, Luke. You're a fine, talented brother. I appreciate you. And all that you've done with these my people and God. Father, we thank you this morning for a wonderful day you've given us. You know, Lord, you're able to meet our needs today, whatever our needs may be. There's no need so great except what you're being. Pray for our dads today. God bless them. Give them strength and grace and direction as they lead their family. You know, your grace is sufficient for each one. Give us, Lord, a meaningful service today. Bless Luke in a wonderful way today. Just overshadow him, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who's going to direct them today. Give us a meaningful time this week. In our Bible school. Yes, this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, and I guess we need to take up our offering, then we'll turn this program over to First Free. David, you want to come and do our offering, or is oh yeah, I didn't see. Come on up here. Come on, take up our offering. Need two? Samantha, you want to come and help? Good. All right, let's say a word of prayer, and then we'll take up our offering, okay? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of it. We pray, Lord, that you would just be with this group as we do Bible school this week. We pray that you would prepare the group that's here. We pray also, Lord, that you would just touch the hearts of the children around this area, that something would touch them, that they would see the reason to come to Bible school, that we could have good attendance. Father, we thank you for the weather. We thank you for the blessings you've given us. We pray that you would be this time an offering, that you would help us to give back to you a portion of that which you so richly give to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. come and introduce our guest?
Like I said a while ago, I've been looking forward to you all being with us again for a whole year. God bless you. You all are a blessing to us. So we thank God for you. Right now, Luke will come and introduce some of you all, and you're all going to sing, I believe, two songs, and then Luke's going to be speaking for us.
All right, well, if the Rockford students could all come up here. We, every year, it's kind of a tradition for us to, and it's a privilege for us to sing a couple songs that we'll be singing at VBS this year. All of you got introduced to one of them last year. And we'll be doing one fun song with Actions and one hymn that we'll all know very well. So I'm going to hand it over to Jordan, who's going to be leading us in singing this morning.
Thank you.
Before we get into God's Word this morning, I just need to share with you that April 2nd was a life-changing day for me this past spring. I thought of all of you around 10 o'clock Central Time when I thought that Jesse and I were going to be getting evicted from our apartment because I was screaming so loud when Coach Cal raised the trophy. So I was very excited to see that Kentucky, our national champs once again. And, yeah, I was very excited to come down here. For part of that reason, I can stock up on all my UK T-shirts and stuff like that. So I'm a huge Kentucky fan. I enjoy watching Kentucky basketball. You all know that. And it was great to see them win a national championship. And thinking of you guys, well, they were doing it. So that being said, this morning, as Pastor James said, he had called me a while back to ask if I would be willing to preach, and I appreciate the opportunity. We are so grateful and excited to be here this week. This is a life-changing trip for our students. It's a life-changing trip for the kids that attend and come to VBS. And each and every year, God just proves himself to be faithful and just. And, you know, it's all about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are so privileged and honored to be able to partner with a church like Beulah Community Baptist Church in doing that. So thank you so much for just being so welcoming to each and every one of us. We really greatly appreciate it. And we love you guys dearly. We're praying for you throughout the year. And even in talking with Pastor James, I love getting updates of what God's been doing throughout the congregation here. And it's just very encouraging to us as well when we're back home to know that you guys are praying for us. So we just appreciate that so much. Today I'm not going to be speaking on Father's Day. I had known last year that Pastor James had spoke about fathers the week prior to us coming. So today we're going to be doing a little bit different sermon that is still about our Heavenly Father, but it is about the Spirit. We're going to be talking about what it means to live life through the Spirit. If you'd open up God's Word to Romans chapter 8 this morning, Romans chapter 8, we're going to be looking Romans chapter 8 verses 1 through 17, and we're going to take a closer look at what it means to live life through the Spirit. You know, a lot of times, and this was true for me, when I had accepted Christ into my life and I was seeking direction, I was seeking God's will for my life, what that meant, I would get Christian counsel and wise counsel, and I would seek after those things, and they would continually tell me, well, seek the Spirit's leading, follow the Spirit's guiding in your life. And as a young Christian, I had no idea what that meant. I didn't know what it meant to live life through the Spirit and have the Spirit guide me, and I needed to be taught that. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17 are a very clear way of how we are to live now that we are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. It's a very clear description of how we are to live our lives as we live our life through the Spirit. The purpose of Romans was to give Paul a chance to introduce himself before he had visited Rome. And we're going to find three truths from this passage. There's an author and a speaker. His name is Francis Chan. He's an author, speaker, and pastor of a church. And he wrote a book called Forgotten God, Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. And he has this quote in the book. I'd like to read it to you. It says this: having read the scriptures outside the context of contemporary church culture, you would be convinced that the Holy Spirit is as essential to a believer's existence as air is to staying alive. So what Francis Chan is saying, he's saying if Christ did not come in, change your life, if you did not receive that gospel message, that life-changing message, and you read the scripture, God's holy word, outside the context of church culture, you would be convinced that the Holy Spirit is so crucial to the life of a believer as air is to staying alive. And yet, I know at times I forget that. I forget about the amazing life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to rediscover this morning. So there's three basic, it's a three-part answer to living life through the Spirit. The first one is this, that I live the free life. Life through the Spirit is living the free life. And this passage in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17, Paul begins it by talking about we are no longer condemned. It begins with no condemnation. And then at the end of this passage, we're going to see that it ends with no separation. So it begins with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. And the no separation part is where we're going to learn a little bit about Father's Day and what it means to be part of the family of God. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, beginning there. Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This verse sets forth one of the most important truths of the Christian faith. The opening word, therefore, leads us to expect some result that flows from the previous text. In other words, whenever we see a therefore in God's Word, we need to ask ourselves, what's it there for? And if we ask ourselves that question, we jump up one verse to Romans chapter 7, verse 25, and it says this: thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Paul's referring back in chapter 8, verse 1 to chapter 7, verse 25, and he's saying we're free. We live the free life. We are free from the habits of sin. Sin no longer has power over us. It teaches us that freedom from the power of sin has been provided by God through the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins proves that we are no longer controlled by the power of sin. We're no longer controlled by it. And the inward struggle with sin was as real for Paul as it is for us. From Paul we learn what to do about it though. Whenever Paul felt lost, he would return to the beginning of his spiritual life, remembering that he had already been freed by Jesus Christ. There are times that myself, even as a youth pastor, I needed to be reminded of the freshness of when I first came to Christ. There are times when I get downhearted and I feel like I'm just a doormat being walked all over. I feel like Satan's beating me up at every turn. And there are times that I needed to be reminded of that. My wife, Jessie, and I will be married for 2 years in the end of July. And one of the things that I enjoyed doing, Jesse and I, our first date that we ever went on, I was a student at Moody Bible Institute in downtown Chicago, Illinois, and she was living in Chicago at the time. And our first date ever, I remember taking Jesse to the Cheesecake Factory downtown Chicago. I just have myself the fattest piece of Reese's peanut butter cheesecake that you've ever seen. And I remember sitting across from her, talking to her that night, and the freshness of our relationship just being started. And now whenever it seems like whenever we're going past the Cheesecake Factory or whenever we're in the area there is a Cheesecake Factory, we have to stop. Because it reminds us. It reminds us of the freshness of the time when we were falling in love with one another and we were growing, we were learning more and more about one another. It reminded us of that freshness. And the same is true in our relationships with Jesus Christ. There are times that we need to be reminded. We need to have a childlike faith, not a childish faith. We need to remember what it was like when we ran to God and He was as our daddy, as our Heavenly Father as He is. We need to be reminded of those things. So when we feel confused and overwhelmed by sin's appeal, we need to follow the example that Paul set forth. We need to thank God that He has given us freedom through His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to let the reality of Christ's power over sin just permeate all that's within us and transform us from the inside out. Verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation, Paul's saying, because the Spirit that is life in Jesus Christ has set us free from the power of sin which leads to death. Paul was comparing two separate laws or principles. He was comparing the old law, and that's the power of sin that separates us from God and results in death. And the old law were the 613 rules in the Old Testament that would continually remind us time and time again of our sinful nature. That was that old law that we couldn't live up to. And because we couldn't live up to that old law, that's when God sent His one and only Son to die on a cross for our sins. The new law, which sets the believers in Christ free from the power of the old, is the law of the Spirit. The new law of the Spirit says that only by living in union with Christ Jesus can believers break the power of sin in their lives. It is the Spirit of God who provides victory, and the Spirit is dwelling within every true child of God. You are a child of God if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He set us free. We live the free life. The life-freeing Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He was present at the creation of the world, and He is the power behind the life transformation of every believer. Verses 3 through 4. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Paul again here, he's stating the impossibility of gaining freedom over sin through the old law. He's comparing again, the old law in itself was not weak. The old law was not the problem. Those 613 rules written in the Old Testament that the Israelites were to follow, that was not the problem. Our sinful nature was the problem. God's laws are not incorrect or inaccurate. But God is so holy that His standard that He demands us to live by just proves that we are sinful beings. That He's holy God and we are not. God accomplished deliverance over sin through sending His Son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful man. Jesus was the only man, as we know, in the history of the world to live a perfect life. In other words, Jesus came to do something about sin. Jesus condemned sin so that those who have placed their faith and trust in Him alone are not condemned. Remember, it begins with no condemnation. Jesus condemned sin so we are not condemned. Jesus erased sin. Christ did this so that the requirements of the law would be fulfilled, and so we can be seen as righteous or as right in God's eyes. Now, Paul, oftentimes in his writings, in his letters, he'll jump around on thoughts. But he goes back to this same exact thought in this passage. In verses 9 through 11, he says this, "You, however, you are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. The presence of the indwelling Christ is the believer's guarantee of life. Even though our physical bodies are subject to death, as it says here, our mortal bodies, our physical bodies are subject to death, our spirits enjoy life for now and into eternity. Death comes as a consequence to sin, and life is a reward of justification, being just before a holy God. Death is the absence of God, and life is the right standing before Him. Throughout his writings, Paul drew close connection between the resurrection of Christ and that of his followers. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6:14, he wrote, "By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also." In Romans 8:11, the Spirit who lives in the believer is the way that God gives life. The Holy Spirit is God's promise or guarantee of eternal life for those who believe in Him. The Spirit is within us now by faith, and by faith we are certain to live with Christ forever. The way we can be freed from the power of sin is only through placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him and Him alone. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who comes to the Father, he cannot come to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way to receive eternal life. He died on a cross for you, and He died on a cross for me. We sang that in the Ducky song. We sang that in "Jesus Paid It All." That's what those songs are about. But there are often times in our lives where there's something that we want to hold on to. I think of it like this. I think of it like baggage. You know, I don't know if you've traveled in big groups of people before to an airport. Maybe you've done it yourself, but normally there's so many bags that I'm carrying through an airport because I don't trust that they'll get my luggage to where it actually needs to be, so I'm carrying it all myself. So I have all these bags on me. I've got a backpack on me. I'm pulling my suitcase. I'm carrying my wife's suitcase and, you know, maybe a carry-on bag, and I'm just weighed down by all these bags that I'm carrying. And the same thing goes for our lives, because there are things we could call it maybe our favorite sin. Our favorite sin that we just don't want to give up for some reason. Maybe our favorite sin is guilt. Maybe we just can't let go of something that had happened that we struggle with guilt because of it. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's addictions. Maybe it's the words that we use. We use hurtful words. Whatever it is, we just get weighed down by all these bags in our lives. And Jesus is saying, "No, I didn't die on a cross for you to carry that baggage. I didn't die on a cross for you to carry that." Jesus is saying, "Leave the baggage behind. Leave it at the foot of the cross that I died on for you. Do not mock the cross of Jesus Christ by not receiving forgiveness. Do not mock the cross by not receiving forgiveness." So an application step for this first point, to apply it to our lives: get rid of the baggage. It's easier said than done, admittedly. Even in my own life, I struggle with carrying baggage. But God's placed people in each and every one of our lives to help us get rid of that baggage for a reason. Because it hurts us. It harms us. And that's not what He has for us. That's not what He has planned for our lives. So get rid of the baggage. So the first is, I live the free life. The second is, I think the best thoughts. I think the best thoughts. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, it says this: "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. In these four verses, Paul divides people into two categories: those who let themselves be controlled by their sinful nature, and those who follow after the Holy Spirit. And Paul also gives us a description of the minds that are controlled by these two categories: the sinful nature and the spirit. The sinful nature, this is that part of us that's within us. You know, one example that I like to use, when I was growing up, my mom, she was a great baker. I mean, I think we would say that about a lot of our moms. But my mom made the best brownies. I remember one day she had her small group from church, her group of friends coming over to our house. And she said, "Luke," she left the brownies out on the table to cool. She said, "Luke, whatever you do, don't eat the brownies." Naturally, my brain translated that and somehow it said, "Luke, eat the brownies." So my mom left. She ran some errands. She went out to get some stuff for having her friends over that night. And the brownies were sitting there. And I mean, they looked so good. So I went over, cut off a little corner, ate it. It's not going to hurt anyone. Started cutting off more. I mean, I'm a big guy. I can eat a lot of brownies. So I continue eating these brownies. My mom comes home. She sees that some of the brownies are missing. She says, "Luke, did you eat the brownies?" "No." Got frosting all over my face. "No, I didn't eat them. I don't know who ate them." "Luke, you're sure you didn't eat the brownies?" "Yeah, I'm sure." "Luke, you ate the brownies out in the shape of an L. I know who ate the brownies. Your initial is in it." That's that sinful nature within us, that what we know is right and what we know is this way, but for some reason the sinful nature within us, which each and every one of us has, we've had it since we were formed since we were knit in our mother's womb, we walk against what we know is right. That's that sinful nature, and each and every one of us has it. And Paul is telling us about that. The sinful nature is when we're rebellious. When we're rebellious in particular toward God. The mind of the sinful person that Paul's talking about in verse 6, he says the mind of the sinful person is death. In verse 7 he says their mind is hostile to God. In verse 8 he says their mind is controlled by the sinful nature. And in verse 8 again he said the mind of a sinful person cannot please God. But there's good news. Paul then goes on. The mind controlled by the Spirit. Their mind is set on what the Spirit desires, Paul says in verse 5. And in verse 6 he says, their mind is controlled by the Spirit, is life and its peace. Now Paul was a brilliant thinker. He was a brilliant man. He was trained in philosophy. This guy knew how to argue in the right way. He knew how to think. He knew how to process on his feet. And he wrote a lot about the thoughts that we are to have as believers in Jesus Christ. And here are a couple of Paul's thoughts on thoughts. The first one is 2 Corinthians 10:5. He says, "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God." This is where he says, We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. It's not something that's learned overnight. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. And as we're growing in our walks and in our relationships with Christ, it's not going to be a steady uphill. We're not just going to continue to grow. There are going to be times when we're growing in our walk with Christ, but maybe a speed bump of life comes along and we walk away from the Lord. And then we renew our faith, we recommit our lives to Christ, and we continue to go up. But then something else happens. We lose a loved one, maybe. And our faith dwindles a little bit. And it's an ongoing learning process of capturing our rebellious thoughts, teaching them to obey Christ. It's not something that happens overnight. And then he tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." How? By changing the way you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. be changed by the way we think, by the truth of the Word of God, and also by the Spirit of God living in us. All of us would be in this first category. All of us would be a mind controlled by the sinful nature if Jesus hadn't offered us a way out. Once we've said yes to Jesus, we will want to continue to follow Him because His way brings life and peace. And daily we must consciously choose to center our lives on God. Are we the type of people that get up in the morning and we're already hating the day before our feet have even hit the floor? Or are we the type of people who sit up in bed in the morning and we say, God, today I'm going to serve You. You must increase, I must decrease. It's all about You, God. It's not about me. And as Tim was teaching us about the parable of the Good Samaritan, maybe when we get up in the morning we say, God, help me be the Good Samaritan today. That I love my neighbor as myself. That I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind. Help me be that person today. The practical step that I would encourage you, if you haven't, if maybe you already do this, but if you haven't, I challenge you to start a scripture memory routine. That's one of the ways it tells us to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, to place God's Word in our heart. And that's one of the ways that we can improve our thoughts on thoughts for that time when we're being tempted by Satan, or those times when we're struggling in life, to have God's Word hidden in our hearts, to be able to recite it from memory, give ourselves a little pep talk from what is truth, the Word of God. It helps. So I challenge you, as you students and the members of the congregation, memorize God's Word. It's life-changing. Memorize God's Word. So the first is that we live the free life. The second is that we think the best thoughts. And the third is where Father's Day ties in. We experience family privileges. The third point is we experience family privileges. In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, Paul says this, therefore, after all this, Paul's saying, there's no condemnation, and therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For if you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Paul tells us that as believers in Christ, we have an obligation. We've got work to do. We have a responsibility, and our responsibility is a positive one, to live each day in the control and power of the Holy Spirit. Our sinful nature does not automatically fade away. Again, this isn't something that happens overnight. It doesn't just leave or depart us. However, when we step into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the need to put to death our sinful nature is an ongoing battle. It's one that we can win, that has been won. We're no longer slaves to sin, Paul says, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. When we turn away from sin's appeal and the Holy Spirit's power regarding sin as them, we're able to resist temptation when it comes. The key to freedom from what we were is constant reliance on what the Spirit is. The key to freedom from what we were, our sinful nature, is constant reliance on what the Spirit is. That the Spirit, because of the Spirit, we live the free life. We think the best thoughts. Paul then goes on to describe the relationship that we have as children of God through the work of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul actually uses adoption here. He uses adoption to illustrate the believer's new relationship with God. In Roman culture at the time, the adopted person lost all rights in his or her old family and gained all the rights of a legitimate child to his or her new family. The Holy Spirit's control and direction attests, it proves the believer's privileges in God's family as a son. And the Greek word that Paul actually uses here is pronounced huios. And it means a child mature enough to take on adult family privileges and responsibilities. We are seen as a child, as sons and daughters of God, mature enough to take on adult family privileges and responsibilities. Our Heavenly Father, our Dad, looks at us like that. A son or daughter in God's family is led by God's Spirit. For we have received the spirit of sonship, Paul tells us. And the Greek word he uses here is huiothesia. And that means placing as a son, or it actually is translated, we're adopted. We are adopted into God's family. He is our Father. And on this Father's Day, it's a great reminder that we experience family privileges. We are co-heirs with the Son of God. We are co-heirs in God's family. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a rich inheritance that's waiting for us. We're no longer like cowering or fearful slaves. Instead, we are God's children. We share in His great treasures. Now, my family, I love my family dearly. I've got two sisters. One's older than me. She's 2 years older than me. And I have a younger sister. She's 4 years younger than me. And my oldest sister is adopted. She was adopted at 3 months old. And I just love, one of the things that I love hearing the story of when my older sister Megan got adopted. Because my dad uses some very specific words to describe what the adoption was like. And he was talking about how when he met with Megan's biological mother, how they met with numerous mothers at the time, and they were trying to find out what was the right fit. And my dad tells the story so great. He says, "We chose her. We were able to choose Megan." This morning, know that God chose you. God chose each and every one of us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ that are in this sanctuary today. God chose you to be His precious son or daughter. He chose you. And that is only able to be reached. It's only able to happen through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us the best gift a father can give. He's given us eternal life. And he still encourages us to ask Him for whatever we may need. And finally, Paul closes in verse 17 in this portion of Scripture with a reminder. There's a price for being identified with Christ. There's a price for it. Along with the great treasures, Paul mentions that suffering the Christians must face. And suffering in our lives may be different. Maybe for the students in here, suffering is being ridiculed as they're walking through the halls at school for having their faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe for some of us, it's we tried to tell a brother or sister about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and now they will no longer talk to us. Maybe for you parents, it's a son or daughter that hasn't come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord yet, and it's just eating you up inside. As Christians, it's not going to be easy. There's suffering we must face to share in the inheritance that God our Father has promised us. But the reward is so great that we can't help but obey what He's asked us to do. To live as Jesus did, serving others, giving up one's rights, resisting pressures to conform to the world, it always requires a price. Living by the Spirit is when we experience family privileges. We need to strive to live as Jesus lived, and that can only begin to affect us if we live by the Spirit. So the application step in this point is, where are we living beneath ourselves? Where are we beating ourselves up or letting society beat us up? Where are we forgetting that we are seen as sons and daughters of God? Our Heavenly Father, who chose us before the foundation of the world. Where are we forgetting that? Where are we living beneath ourselves? We need to be sure that we're living lives knowing that we have the family privileges of God. In closing, there's a paraphrased version that of these verses that I'd like to share with you is I like the way that this is written. It says this: God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you've received from God is not a timid grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" Are we willing to live adventurously expectant lives for our Heavenly Father? The students are doing it this week. It's an adventure for them. Many of them, half of them sitting in this room, this is their first time away from home for a week, or this is their first time away from their parents, traveling, doing a mission trip. They're living adventurously expectant lives, knowing that there's an adventure here. This is something new for them, but they're expectant because they expect their Father to do great things, their Heavenly Father to transform lives this week through the power of His Holy Spirit. So life through the Spirit is three things. It's many more, but the three things from this passage that Paul talks about is living a free life, thinking the best thoughts, and on this Father's Day, experiencing family privileges. Because our Heavenly Father chose us. He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. Would you pray with me as we close? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the amazing truth of Your Word that, God, life through the Spirit begins with no condemnation. We're no longer condemned because of the death of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And it ends with no separation because You, our Heavenly Father, we are adopted as Your sons and daughters into Your family through the death of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank You for that. Lord, as we strive to live our lives through the power of Your amazing Holy Spirit that lives within each and every one of us, we thank You. We thank You that, God, You are living inside of us, that we have the power to do amazing things for the kingdom of God. And I pray that that would happen this week for the students that are sitting in this sanctuary right now. I pray, God, that You would just give them wisdom, that they would be able to find favor with the kids that attend VBS, that lives would be changed, that discipleship would happen, that there would be kids that start a life-changing and transforming relationship with You. Thank You for Beulah Community Baptist Church. Thank You for the amazing relationships that we have with them. We love them dearly, Lord. Bless us this week, and in return, God, may we be a blessing to You, our Heavenly Father. We love You, and we ask all these things in Your wonderful and matchless name. Amen.
not a one of us in this room could save themselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't get good enough to save ourselves. I put my faith and trust in the Lord a long time ago. Soon be 57 years ago when I was 19 years old. The Bible says that He can save to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Somebody say it like this: God can save us from the guttermost to the uttermost. We were over at the hospital Friday night with Tim's sister-in-law, who was at the point of death. They called two cold blues on her. When they got her to the hospital, she was not even breathing. She got run over by a truck after she wrecked her motorcycle. There was a teenager there in the emergency room. I said to one of our fellow chaplains at the hospital, "That fellow acts like he is in here for an overdose." My friend, we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord and do what Luke has given us this morning. He loves us. He has a wonderful plan for our lives. We have to come to Him. Jesus said in one place, "You will not come to me that you might have life." So Luke, we're grateful for this message. We look forward to Monday through Friday with you all. We look forward to a visitation this afternoon as we go to invite people to our vacation Bible school. You're invited downstairs for a meal. You're welcome. And we thank God for the meal that God has prepared for us. Let's have a word of prayer and thank the Lord for the meal that we'll receive downstairs. Father, we ask your blessing upon our time together this week. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the wonderful third person of the Trinity, the wonderful Holy Spirit. We're sealed by this wonderful Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. And we thank you, Father, for this time of fellowship you've given us this morning. We thank you for the food downstairs. We ask a special blessing upon it. Bless our visitation this afternoon. We thank you for what you have done already and what you're going to do. May your will be worked out in each one of our lives. Help us to lean on you for strength and your grace and mercy. Again, we thank you for this day, this wonderful day you've given us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Those of our church family who would like to give an offering for Oneida Baptist Institute, you do that. I'll be standing back there at the door. They just got a new president just a few months ago. This is given in honor and in memory, actually, of a wonderful fellow, Barclay Moore. Barclay used to be the president of Oneida. They found him dead one morning in bed, 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Barclay gave almost probably many days, 18 hours or so, for Oneida. He loved Oneida, but he is in heaven today. And they just had a new president. Bud Underwood was the president after Barclay Moore. And Paul Davidson, he used to be music director at First Baptist Hazard. And he's the new president right now of Oneida. What a wonderful place that is. I told you all last week, last Sunday, about our son Tim. We'll not go over that anymore. I guess Tim went home to be with his wife after Sunday school this morning. God bless. You're dismissed downstairs.